We're in a time where a lot of things are changing. You blink and things change. We're in a time where there's decisions being made for us. Decisions that we don't necessarily believe in, agree with, but you want one? Cool. Thank you, ladies. Okay, thank you, sir. Very good. We're going to be talking about keeping watch. We must be watching, but watch for what? This is the crux of our understanding is going to be learning and knowing what do we watch for? There you go. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive, your word that works within us, your word that teaches us, Lord, and guides us. We are so dependent on you and your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak into our lives. We need that which comes from you, Lord. We desperately need that. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, daughter, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Sounds like Joshua chapter 1, doesn't it? Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips from you. Now it's interesting that in the same passage, it's talking about guarding your heart and talking about keeping your mouth, watching what you say. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Sounds like Joshua chapter 1. Psalm 17:3. Oh, by the way, that word that says to keep your heart with all diligence means to guard it, to watch over it. Watch over your heart. That's your responsibility, to watch your heart. How do you know whether your heart is being guarded? Well, in the same token, and we're going to see if you are speaking the right things, if you are not allowing doubt, negativity, fear to come out of your mouth, then you're guarding your heart. And we're going to see more of that here. Keeping watch. Psalm 17, beginning at 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. Basically, he's saying, Lord, you've tested me and when you've searched me, you don't find anything wrong. Yes, prove is to test. Yes. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, and my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that saveth by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of my eye. Hide me under the shadow of thine wings. John, 1 John 5:18. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Okay? That he that is begotten of God, the true believer, he keeps himself. And what's interesting is, before I go on, let me share one more scripture. James 1, beginning at 22. This is from the International Standard Version. Keep on being obedient to the word, and not merely being hearers who deceive themselves. Anybody know those who are just hearers? They deceive themselves. If anyone hears the word but is not obedient to it, he is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror, studies himself carefully, then goes off and immediately forgets what he looks like. Doesn't take it seriously. But the one who looks at the perfect law of freedom and remains committed to it, thereby demonstrating that he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what the law requires, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, in the same passage, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but instead deceives himself, his religion, what he believes, what he stands for, is worthless. A religion that is pure and stainless according to God the Father is this: take care of orphans and widows who are suffering, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, so in 1 John 5:18, it says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And James 1:22 says, and the one the one who takes care of orphans, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That is both the same word, the keep and keepeth. And if you look down, I have a note here, which is G5083, the Strong's number. And what's interesting is it's the same word, same definition, that what God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2 to keep the garden. Look at here. This is the definition. To guard from loss or injury properly by keeping an eye on, and thus deferring from G5442, which is properly to prevent escaping from. You know, watch that prisoner. Keep him. Which implies a fortress. What have we talked about the hedge? We've been talking about a hedge. Okay, keeping, which implies a fortress or full military lines of apparatus. That is to note a prophecy, figuratively to fulfill a command, by implication to detain in custody, guard your heart, keep your heart, keep your tongue. You arrest it. You keep it in custody. By extension, to withhold for personal ends, figuratively to keep unmarried, or do not, you're not allowing it to get hooked up with something that's wrong. To marry, like God told the children of Israel when they went in, do not learn their ways. Don't be like them, or you will be married to them. In which
They were.
Hold fast, keep, serve, watch. So, what are we to watch? First and foremost, we're to keep that word. In fact, I was reading this morning, and when you look, I looked up the word keep through Psalms, and the word keep is to guard, protect. And many times, David and other writers in the Psalms were saying that we have to guard the word. I thought that was quite interesting. To guard his judgments, to keep his judgments. We think it's to do them. But to keep them gives the idea, don't let them be taken from you. Don't let other ideas come in and supersede that which has been deposited in your heart. See, there's decisions that are being made for us in this world, in this society. And look at what's happened in the whole scheme of Christianity. The word has not been guarded. The pure word. They've allowed many leaders, denominations, they've allowed a secular, they've allowed other ideas to supersede that purity. And therefore, when that purity is stained, what happens? It becomes something that is not resembling the truth. Worthless. Very good. Worthless. Now, Jesus said, and this is quite interesting. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps." There's that word again, the same word. But it's interesting. "Keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now we know, John, you know, there's a lot of metaphors and a lot of things. And that we have to piece together, we have to study, we have to look at consistency. So, just to make this simple and give an idea of what he's talking about, let's look at Revelation 19:7. That'll help answer what Revelation 16 is talking about. Revelation 19:7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." Who, from last week, who's the bride, the wife? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is made up of all of the righteous saints. So you are partially right there. Now, but looky here. "And unto her," who? The wife, "was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen," garments, fine garments. "For the fine linen," the fine garments, "is the righteousness of the saints." The righteousness is your covering. The righteousness is God. So that righteousness is looked at as fine linen. So, "Blessed is he that watches," back in Revelation 16, "and keeps his righteousness," his garments, "lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Or, lest he loses his righteousness and people see in a sense, a person who's become unrighteous, naked, shameful, worthless. But what I found interesting is how that the righteousness, and there's a whole lot more we can study on this, but and I think it'd be a good thing for you guys to study. When you read James, more of James, it talks about the things that come out of your mouth. Like it says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but instead deceives himself, what he believes, his religion is worthless. David, he talks about, thou hast proved me, thou hast visited, thou hast tried me, shall find nothing I have purposed, that my mouth shall not transgress. Proverbs, verse 44 says, 424, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Froward means an uncontrolled, somebody who just says things off the top of their head. They're bold and they don't really care, and they're unthoughtful words. Froward. Put away from you that kind of an attitude and lips that are perverse. So our righteousness is closely hinged on the way that we talk. What is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. I can tell where people are by listening to them. I can tell when people want to talk about, they want to talk more about the condition of the world and what's happening here and there, and then want to talk about the things of God. That tells me something. So we must condition ourselves. We must exercise ourselves. We must learn to keep watch on where we are. Keep watch or keep an inventory. In fact, the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves. Know yourself. In fact, here it says in James, the one who looks, let me see, verse 23. If anyone hears the word, James 1:23, if anyone hears the word but is not obedient to it, he is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and studies himself carefully and then goes off and immediately forgets what he looks like. So, let's turn that around. So then a person who hears the word and is obedient to it is like a man who what? It'd be like a man? Huh?
Knows what he looks like.
A man who studies himself, and when he walks away from the mirror, remembers. He studies himself carefully, goes off, and he remembers what he looks like. It's the person. The person is attentive to detail, is attentive because he wants to please God. He wants to do what's right. The person who's on the opposite doesn't care. Yeah. So we must be watching, because there's decisions that are being made that are causing attitudes to change, causing people to change their minds about things, causing people to have a different attitude at the very things that matter, which we know is God's pure word. That's what matters. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Experiences change. We can't base what we believe on an experience, because you can experience something today, experience something different tomorrow. And if you're going by experiences, you're going to vacillate back and forth. You're going to be hot, and then you'll be cold, and you'll be firm, and you'll be weak. And see, but we build on the Word of God. The enemy wants you to get caught up into the emotionalism. He wants you to get caught up in the feelings of things. You know, they're changing so many things. Have you heard the one about the gypsy moth? They want to do away with the name gypsy moth because gypsies are being offended. Seriously. They're changing the name of the Cleveland Indians.
Oh,
because
the Indians...
Yes. Somebody's feelings are hurt. they changed the name of the Washington Redskins. I don't even care.
What's that butter brand? You know what I'm talking about? The Land O'Lakes butter?
Oh, Land O'Lakes butter. They're changing the logo, yeah.
I was at the store the other day and I almost didn't recognize it because they took the Indian off.
Yeah.
Sorry about Aunt Jemima's syrup.
Oh, really? That's the reason why they
said what? We're being ruled by people's emotions. Come on. What were we just talking about? That movie? You know, and these millionaire kids, they're having these parties and they don't get the right color Porsche, so they're upset, their emotions are stirred. Or they got a Porsche instead of a Lamborghini or something, you know.
And then their parents are complying. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll fix that for you.
You know.
Yeah, that's good. I like how
part.
The kids run the lives
too. Yeah, it's the emotion. There's no stability. All right. But I want to reemphasize this again. David. Thou hast proved my heart. You've tested my heart to see what's in it. You visited me in the night, and you've tried me and shall find nothing. Because I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. He's purposed. That was Psalm 17. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So it's almost as if, if I can rein in this mouth, then I can rein everything else in. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Regardless of what man does, but because he's hinged his life on the words of his lips, he says, I, because I've done this, it's kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in my paths, that my footsteps slip not. I've called on thee, for thou wilt hear me. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that saveth by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of his wings. Just in this passage alone, you see David's ultimate trust. Ultimate trust in the Lord and in his words. Jesus. We talked about the hedge when he was tempted by the devil. It is written. His ultimate trust was in that which was written. And he said, And it says in there that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what David said, by the words of thy lips, from your words that came out of your mouth, I follow them, and it's kept me from the path of the destroyer. And so there's a word that we need that I use a lot. I can't say I've coined it because somebody might have said it before. But we hold to the pure word. The pure word of God. They love that in Africa. They love to see, and it's proven that what they're believing and what they're seeing and studying is pure. Unstained. Lastly, James 1:27. A religion that is pure and stainless according to God the Father is this: to take care of orphans and widows who are suffering. A religion that is pure and stainless according to God the Father is to keep oneself unstained from the world. The King James says to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep watch. Don't let spots like a, you know how they, some artists will take a ball of paint or something and they'll throw it, you know. There's things being thrown at you. Be watching. Be watching. So what's the best way to watch in closing here? Be in the Word. Be careful who you spend time with. Who you listen to.
What comes out of your mouth.
What comes out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit that is in you. Listen to Him. Don't be afraid to obey the Holy Spirit, even if it sounds contradictory. For instance, this happened to me. I was working with this man, this is many, many, many years ago, who was having a problem with alcohol. I'd meet with him and we'd talk, and he was coming to church, he was reading his Bible, but he had a problem with alcohol. And so one day, I kicked everybody out of the house, and I'm going to just spend time by myself. I'm just going to worship. I'm going to record, make a recording. And as I got all of my equipment and everything ready, the phone rings. So-and-so really needs your help. He's not doing good. Interesting timing. Immediately, listen to me. Immediately, the Holy Spirit says, don't go. My heart, how can I not go? He needs me. But the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. Well, I learned a lesson. I went. Yeah. I wasted 5 years. 5 years of spinning my wheels, not making any progress, nothing, by that one instance. 5 years. Don't be afraid to listen to the Holy Spirit, even if it sounds contradictory, or even if it sounds cold or uncaring. Don't be afraid to go, no, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. We've got to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. His purpose for sending the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth, right? Guide us. So what good is it to have the Holy Spirit if we're not going to be attentive to His guidance? In not doing so, we stain that righteousness, that garment that has been given to us, that precious cloak of Jesus Christ, and we begin to stain it. And once, believe me, once we open the door, it's just a continual snowball effect. And we know that with habits, you know. Once somebody opens the door to drugs, you know, or different things, there's a hook put in you, and it's reeled in. So, look over those notes, do some cross-referencing. There's a lot in there. Watch. We're to watch. Keep guard. Keep in that hedge. Watch that we don't come out of the hedge. The enemy's tricky. Father, we trust you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives today, for speaking to us and helping us to stay ahead of the game. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your caring for us. We'll be obedient and we'll follow you. Just guide us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guy?
No. 5 years of my life.